So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text Number 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Duravatyai, Advani, Acha, Niveshito, Rajas, Tama, Shatva, Nipakta, Karamadrik, Sha, Esha, Sharto, Arta, Paraha, Paribrahmam, Bhavatai Abhim Yati Na Sharma Vindati Brahmana Uvacha Turatai Dvani Ajani Vesito Rajasama Shatva Vibhakta Karmadrika Sha esha sato artha para pari brahmam. Bhavatavim yati na sharma vindati. Duratyai dvani ajani vesito. Rajasama sattva vibhakta karmadrik. Shaesha sarto art para pari brahmam. Pavanta vimyati sa sama bindati. Turatyai tavani ajaya nivesito. Rajasama sattva vibhakta karmadri. Sa esha sato atta para pari brahmam. Pavata vim yati na sharma vindati. Tura yai tvani ajar niveshito. Raja sama shatva vibhakta karmadri. Shayesha sharto artha para pari brahmam. Havatim yati na sharma bindati.
Any messages?
Durajayi dvani ajaya niveshito. Rajas samasattva vibhakta karmadri. Saesha sato artha para pari brahmam. Yati na sharma vindati. Dura jayi dvani ajam vishito. Rajasama sattva vibhakta karmadri. Sa esha sato artha para pari brahmam. Bhavata vimyati na sharma vindati.
Brahmana Uchu, the Brahmana Jadaparat continued to speak. Duratyayi, which is very difficult to traverse.
Hadvani, on the path of fruitive activities, performing actions in this life, creating a body in the next life by those actions, and in this way continuously accepting birth and death. Ajaya, by Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Niveshita, cause to enter. Rajaha tamaha sattva vibhakta kamadrik. The conditioned soul who sees only immediate beneficial active fruitive actions and their results, which are divided into three groups by the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. Shaha, he, Eshaha, this, Sha'arta. The living entity falsely seeking sense gratification. Arta Paraha, intent upon gaining wealth. Paribrahmam, wandering all over. Bhava Atabin, the forest known as Bhava, which means the repetition of birth and death. Yati, enters. Na, not. Sharma, happiness. Vindati, obtains. Translation of Prabhupada's Divine Grace of Acharyanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Jadaparat, who had fully realized Brahman, continued, my dear king, Rahugana, the living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajogun and Tamogun, a living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious, and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation merging with the Supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters a forest to acquire some articles to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve any happiness within this material world. Please repeat. Jadaparat, who had fully realized Brahman, continued. My dear King Rahugana, a living entity wanders on the path of the material world, which is very difficult for him to traverse, and he accepts repeated birth and death. Being captivated by the material world under the influence of the three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajogun and Tamogun, the living entity can see only the three fruits of activities under the spell of material nature. These fruits are auspicious, inauspicious and mixed. He thus becomes attached to religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the monistic theory of liberation, merging with the Supreme. He works very hard day and night, exactly like a merchant who enters the forest to acquire some articles to to sell later for profit. However, he cannot really achieve happiness within this material world. One can very easily understand how difficult and insurmountable the path of sense gratification is. Not knowing what the path of sense gratification is, one becomes implicated in the repetition of birth and accepts different types of bodies again and again. And thus one suffers material existence. In this life, one may think he is very happy being an American, Indian, Englishman or a German. But in the next life, one has to accept another body amongst the 8,400,000 species. The next body has to be immediately accepted according to karma. One will be forced to accept a certain type of body, and protesting will not help. That is the stringent law of nature. Due to the living entity's ignorance of his eternal, blissful life, he becomes attracted to material activities under the spell of Maya. In this world, he can never experience happiness, yet he works very hard to do so. This is called Maya. Om Bhagyant Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakya Takshura Miritantin Tashmash Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here the explaining how the living entities are completely bound up in this material world through the agency of the three modes of material nature under the influence of Maya. And here actually this whole chapters has been stressing the same thing, that there is no happiness in this material world. And Prabhupada says also, the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should become convinced that there is no happiness in this world. But we think there is. So this is Maya, the illusory state of existence that the whole world is under. And it's very, very difficult to cross over that, because Devi Heshi Gunamaya, Mama Maya, Duratya, very difficult. Why? Because it's Krishna's Maya. It's acting under his dictation, under his direction. So it's very, very difficult to overcome. But he says, if you surrender unto me, very easily you can do it, because I'm the controller of it. I can tell Maya to stop. She is my energy. By yourself you may try, but good luck, Krishna says. So Prahlad, he saw it, he was only 5 years old, but he detected Maya Shukaya. Everyone in this material world is making a gigantic program for happiness. Whatever anyone is doing in this world, the goal is the same, they want happiness. Some people commit suicide for happiness. But what everyone is doing, they're doing for happiness. So Prahlad says, yes, everyone is making a gigantic program for happiness that will never be. It will never be. This is Prahlad's Mahajana's indication. There's an illustration of Maya, how Maya works. This is Jaimini, sage Jaimini. And he was with his Guru Maharaj, Vyasadeva, in the Himalayas. And Vyasadeva was talking about the nature of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. And Jaimini was saying, well, it was a great lecture, but, you know, I pity those poor people who are suffering under the influence of Maya, but, you know, up here in the mountains, in the in the forest. We're away from everything. We're so fortunate. Actually, Maya can't touch us here. We're very, very safe. So he was thinking like that. So that night, there was a fierce storm blew up. And he was in his house, in his cottage. And a great storm blew up. Fierce rain and winds and thunder and everything like that. And then he heard some screaming sounds, screaming and screaming. And he looked out the window, he couldn't see anything. It was a torrential rain and thunder, and but he heard the screaming. And then suddenly a lightning flash came. And he saw Mataji out there, completely lost in the mountain up there, soaking wet. So he called out, "Come this way, come this way, come this way. I can help you, come this way." So she came to the house and he said, "Okay, please come inside. What happened? What happened?" She said, "Well, I was doing my collecting firewood or something in the forest and then the storm came over and I got stuck." And he said, "Anyway, so dangerous outside. Now you can stay here tonight." She said, "Oh no, I cannot stay because I'm alone. I cannot stay alone in a man's house." "No, no, it's okay. I'm a very strict brahmachari." She said, "No, no, I cannot do that. I sleep on the veranda outside." He said, "No, no, I have two rooms. You come in. It's impossible to sleep on the veranda. So I have two rooms." She said, "No, no, I cannot come in." She said, "No, no, you've got your own room. You lock the door. And nobody can come in. Even if I want to come in, you don't open it. You just, under no circumstances, you just go to sleep. Now you don't worry about anything." So she's okay, she came in. And then she went to sleep. And the brahmachari was being, "Poor little girl, you know, out there soaking wet and everything like that. And the fierce storm blew up." And she had a nice figure, actually. Because when the lightning struck, the clothes were stuck to her body because she was soaking wet. And it was quiet. He was just thinking like that. And she was right next door, so he knocked on the door. He said, "Mataji, can I come in?" "Oh, no, 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 you promised nobody will come. I can." It's okay for me. I live here. "No, no, no." So the more he contemplated it, the more he became so anxious and desirous to enter. He said, "Well, what can I do, Mataji?" And she said, "No, it's impossible. No, you cannot." He said, "Well, then will you marry me?" She said, "I can do that." So he said, "Okay, are you satisfied?" "Okay, okay, you can marry me." So he pacified him a little bit. So she said, "But first, I want you to do something. I want you to carry me. You get down on your hands and knees. I'll sit on your back. You carry me to the top of the mountain. There's a Devi temple there. I want to go and pay my respects to Devi, and then you can marry me. Can you do that?" He said, "Yes, of course I can do that." He's very happy, and he went to sleep very happy. So the next morning, coming, he's all excited. "Okay, we'll go." He goes, "I jump on my back." So he's crawling up the mountain. She was sitting on his back. And because it was raining and storm, all the rocks had rushed down to the little sharp stones and sharp pieces of rock. And his arms are being cut and bled, and his knees and his feet. But anyway, he was so intent to climb up. And finally, he got up there. And he said, "At last, we got here. So now will you marry me?" So she got off his back. And he said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj." It was his Guru Maharaj, Vyasadeva. He said, "Yes, and you were saying how Maya can't affect you. You think you were free here. Maya cannot affect you. And just see what happened." And how much time did it take? A lightning flash. That's all. Just one lightning flash association, and you were completely bewildered. So this is illustrating the power of Maya. There's many stories in the shastras about the power of Maya. So we shouldn't underestimate Maya in the least, and we should always be fearful of Maya. Prabhupada said it's a very good qualification if we can become fearful of Maya. So there's a similar story with Ramchandra Kaviraj. And he was getting married in the Srikhanda, going towards Kapil side. Srikhanda. Huh? Jajigram. Yeah, Jajigram. On the way to Katwa. Anyway, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Thakur were staying there. The house is still there. Temple is there. So anyway, the band was coming. Playing a band, Chennai band, this is a wedding. And Ramchandra was being carried in the palanquin. He was the groom. And he was going to meet the bride, and all the pomp was there. And Narottam and Shyamananda were sitting there chanting Hare Krishna. And then they saw the wedding procession coming. And Narottam said, "Oh, this Ramchandra Kaviraj. Nice Brahmin. Very pure. Knows Shastra very well. Nice features. Everything about him so nice. If only he was a Vaishnava, though. If only he could become a Vaishnava, then he would be actually really perfect." So, as it came past, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he saw Narottam and Srinivas. "Oh, stop the carriage, I have to pay my obeisances, he's a great saint." So he had proper behavior and everything, so he went and paid his obeisances. And Srinivas said, "Okay, I'll preach to him." So he called him over. And he said, "Oh, your wedding day, yes, well, congratulations on your wedding." He said, "You know, a man, he works very hard, whole day. What for?" He says, "He's got a little bit of money. And what does he do with that money?" He purchased a noose is a piece of rope. He purchases a noose, and he happily puts it around his own neck. Not only he works hard to get the money, but he happily, and he buys a noose, he happily puts the noose around his neck. And it struck Ramchandra Kaviraj. It's a little sentence like that. So it struck him deeply, and he was contemplating all. Anyway, he went through with the marriage, but on the way back, he said, "Stop the palanquin," and he came. He said, "Please give me shelter at your lotus feet." And he took complete shelter and became the great Vaishnava, Ramchandra Kaviraj. So this is Maya. Yeah. We work hard, so hard, and we buy a noose and happily put it around our own neck. So this is Maya. That everybody is thinking that they can be happy in this world. This is Maya's trick, teaching everyone how to be happy in this world. And there's no practical way out of this except by Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, "Krishna Prabhupada is so kind. If he hadn't created Krishna consciousness, where would we be?" And it hurts me just to think about where we'd be. But Prabhupada says at the end of the last verse, yesterday's verse, through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. So this Krishna consciousness movement is giving a chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who's serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peaceably cultivate Hare Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and return back home, back to Godhead in this life. Isn't that nice? And Prabhupada has created a society and arranging for our board and lodging. That's his kindness. So anybody can come. They don't need any money even. So many of us came here, we didn't have money. But Prabhupada's arranging that simply so you can sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That's all. So kind is a Vaishnava. And text 13 of this, that same chapter. Prabhupada said, yeah, and one shouldn't one shouldn't indulge in talking unnecessarily about news of the material world. One should not waste his time in that way. This is a very important feature in the life of a devotee. Nice thing. It's a very important feature in the life of a devotee. He doesn't waste time. A devotee has no other ambition than to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness movement was started to engage people 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord. In his glorification, the students in this institution engage in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness from 5 in the morning to 10 at night. They actually have no opportunity to waste their time unnecessarily discussing politics, sociology, and current events. These will go their own way. A devotee is only concerned with serving Krishna positively and seriously. So this is the opportunity we've been given by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. He's created such a wonderful society where we can come and just chat, sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That's all that really Prabhupada wanted us to do. In Bombay, one time Prabhupada said, all I want you to do is sit down and chant Hare Krishna. He said, but because you cannot, therefore I'm taxing my brain, inventing so many ways to engage you in service. But of course, we have to be active, otherwise nothing is going to get done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not going to be spread, so we are very active. And Prabhupada's given us these guidelines. So this is so nice. Vaishnava way of life. We're simply doing what we're supposed to be doing. We know what we're supposed to do according to the Shastras, Guru Sadhu Shastra. We know, we don't have any speculation about what we should be doing or how we should do things. That's already been established, Guru Sadhu Shastra. We simply follow their instructions and that's all they want, is to chant Hare Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. But first we have to understand Maya, to get free of this illusion. We've adopted this Maya as a means of happiness. But we have to get rid of this conception of being happy by engaging in sense gratification, the activities of Maya. And we have to become convinced that we have to give it up. We have adopted it. The spiritual path is there, but unless we empty everything from our heart, how are we going to put anything back? The spiritual life has been given by the Srila Prabhupada. We have to have a clean slate, someone mentioned. Start with a clean slate. So that means you have to give up all these conceptions that, you know, we're enjoyers of this material world. So this chapter, all these chapters actually, and the next chapter is called The Forest of Material Enjoyment. It goes on and again and again. By reading this, we should come to this conclusion. Hopefully we'll all come to this conclusion. You know, there is no real happiness in this material world. The whole struggle for existence, the illusory struggle for existence, it's not going to help us really. And these stories about the person in the forest of enjoyment, this is actually us, it's pointing out us, how we are in this sojourn in this material world, we're trying to get collect different things, trying to be happy. It's about us, the living entity. This is why the story is told like this. And when we recognize, yeah, it is us, this is us, it is me, I am trying to enjoy this material world, then I can actually begin to give it up by following the Acharya's instructions. I read the introduction here. This was the first verse. This is the further talk between King Rahugana and Jadabharat. The Brahmana Jadabharat was very kind to King Rahugana, and to disassociate him from the material world, he spoke figuratively of the forest in the material world. He explained that this material world is like a great forest in which one becomes entangled due to association with material life. In this forest, there are many plunderers, the six senses, as well as carnivorous animals like jackals, wolves, and lions, wife, children, and other relatives, who are always anxious to suck the blood from the head of the family. The forest plunderers are the carnivorous blood-sucking animals combined to exploit the energy of a man within this material world. In this forest, there is also a black hole covered by grass, into which one may fall, coming into the forest and being captivated by so many material attractions. One identifies himself with the material world, society, friendship, and love, and family. Having lost the path and not knowing where to go, being harassed by animals and birds, one is also victimized by many desires. And thus one works very hard in the forest and wanders here and there. He becomes captivated by the temporary happiness and becomes aggrieved by so-called distress. Actually, one simply suffers in the forest from so-called happiness and distress. Sometimes he's attacked by a snake, deep sleep. And due to the snake bite, sometimes he loses consciousness and becomes puzzled and bewildered about discharging his duties. Sometimes he's attracted by women other than his wife, and thus he thinks he enjoys extramarital love with another woman. He is attacked by various diseases, by lamentation, by summer and winter. Thus, one within the forest of material world suffers the pangs of material existence. Expecting to become happy, the living entity changes his position from one place to another. But actually, a materialistic person within the material world is never happy. Being constantly engaged in materialistic activities, he is always disturbed. He forgets that one day he has to die. Although he suffers severely, being illusioned by the material energy, he still hankers after material happiness. In this way, he completely forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By hearing this from Jadabharat, Maharaj Ruguna revived his Krishna consciousness and thus benefited from Jadabharat's association. He could understand that his illusion was over, and he begged pardon from Jadabharat for his misbehavior. So here, now Maharaj Ruguna, he's heard from the great saint Jadabharat. He's become convinced that there is no enjoyment in this material world. Then, my illusion is now over. The same thing that Krishna spoke to Arjuna, said to Krishna, my illusion is over, and now my memory is restored. It means if the illusion is not over, our memory will not be restored. Krishna says, from me come remembrance and forgetfulness. If our memory is not restored, then how we can understand who we are? If I have no memory, I cannot understand who I am. This is my position in the material world. I've regained my memory. My illusion is gone. First the illusion went, then I gained my memory. So it's important that we understand the illusion and get rid of the illusion, stop the illusion, or our relationship in illusion, that we can do. Then the actual, then the memory can be revived, our memory of our real identity and our eternal relationship with Krishna can be revived. So, how to get out of this detachment? He said, attachment is by detachment. By detachment, that is, gets out of he gets away from the attachment. And it's like a detachment, it's like a sword, Krishna says, it's like a sword. You can cut through these attachments. Detachment is like a sword that cuts through the rope. These ropes that bind us in this material world, they are produced from our aspirational hopes that there'll be happiness in the material world. That is the ropes that are binding us. We have aspirations that we can be happy in this world. These are the actual ropes that bind us. Same example that Srinivasacharya gave. The rope that bind him was the noose he put around his neck. So we are thinking, yes, this is going to make me happy. That is the rope. That is the noose. In our own experience, we've had lots of experience. Every time we go for happiness, it takes so much endeavor, so much trouble, so much problem, so much anxiety. Every time, without fail. Especially if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, then everything is intensified. But all the anxiety that goes with just trying to get a little bit of happiness, even if you're a good pious man, you've got to go out and work hard, so hard to get money to get what you happiness. There's no escaping it. So these are why we are attached to this mibha. So with the weapon of detachment, then we can cut through these ropes. And then we get free from that. The spiritual life actually starts at the time of detachment. Detachment from the conception that I am the enjoyer of the material world. So it starts from the time, spiritual life starts from the time of detachment, because material life began from the time of attachment, from the conception of attachment to the material world. That was we had a conception that we could enjoy it, that we adopted that attachment. That was the beginning of our spiritual, our material life. And when we cut through that with detachment, that's the beginning of our spiritual life. We detach ourselves from this idea that I'm the enjoyer. It begins at that point. The living entity at the beginning of creation, he comes into the material existence. Before the illusion has been created, the modes of material nature are inactive. The living entity is there, so he's in pure consciousness because there's no contamination of the modes of material nature. Vasudeva consciousness. Then after that, the Ahankara principle makes its appearance. And this is the dictation that I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. It's the Purusha Bhav. And the living entity says, oh yes, that's what I wanted. He was in a pure condition before that. Oh yes, that I want. I'm the controller and the enjoyer, the Purusha Bhav. Yes, that's what I wanted. That's the beginning of our attachment. And then the whole material world unfolds because of our desire to enjoy it. That's the purpose of the material world, isn't it? It's not for Krishna's pleasure. It's for our pleasure. So material life begins with this point of adopting this principle that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So we have to cut through that. Okay. And then with detachment, and that detachment is the beginning of our spiritual life. So this conception of being the enjoyer and controller, this is our main identity since we've been in the material world, through all the species of life which have that much consciousness. Our identity as that body, within that body, is that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So it's a very, very deep-rooted desire. It's been since time immemorial, since we've been in the material world. It's a very, very deep-rooted desire, but It's not so deep that it cannot be uprooted. So we have to learn how to remove that desire. There's a very interesting instruction that the Avadhut, this is from the 11th canto, the Avadhut learned from material nature. He learned many things from material nature. And one of them, he was telling the story of Pingala, who was a prostitute. So it's a very instructive story. It's here in the Bhagavatam. So he's telling the story, what lesson he learned from Pingala. So once that prostitute, desiring to bring a lover into her house, stood outside the doorway at night, showing her beautiful form. Oh, best among men, this prostitute was very anxious to get money. And as she stood on the street at night, she studied all the men who were passing by, thinking, oh, this one surely has money. I know he can pay the price. I'm sure he would enjoy my company very much. And thus she thought all about the men on the street. As the prostitute Pingala stood in the doorway, many men came and went, walking by her house. Her only means of subsistence was prostitution, and therefore she anxiously thought, maybe this one who is coming is very rich. Oh, he's not stopping, but I'm sure someone else will come. Oh, surely this man, he's coming now. He will pay me for my love, and he'll probably give me lots of money. And thus, with vain hope, she remained leaning against the doorway, unable to finish her business and go to sleep. Out of anxiety, she would sometimes walk towards the street, and sometimes she went back into her house. In this way, the midnight hour gradually arrived. As the night wore on, the prostitute, whose intensely desired money, gradually became morose, and her face dried up. Thus, being filled with an anxiety for money and most disappointed, she began to feel great detachment from her situation, and happiness arose in her mind. The prostitute felt disgusted with her material situation and thus became indifferent to it. Indeed, detachment acts like a sword, cutting to pieces the binding network of material hopes and desires. Now please hear from me the song sung by the prostitute in that situation. O King, just as human being who is bereft of spiritual knowledge never desires to give up the false sense of proprietorship over many material things, similarly, a person who has not developed detachment never desires to give up the bondage of the material body. The prostitute Pingala said, just see how greatly illusioned I am. Because I cannot control my mind, just like a fool, I desire lusty pleasures from insignificant men. I am such a fool, I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually more dear to me, most dear to me. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who is the bestower of real love and happiness, and the source of all prosperity. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires, and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. Oh, how I have uselessly tortured my own soul. I have sold my body to lusty, greedy men who are the objects of pity themselves. Thus, practicing the most vulnerable profession of a prostitute, I hope to get money and sex pleasure. The material world body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming the spine, ribs, and arms and legs are like the beams, cross beams, and pillars of a house. And the whole construction, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair, and nails. The nine doors leading to this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body? thinking she might find pleasure and love in this contraption. Certainly in this city of Videha, I am completely foolish. I neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards me everything, even our spiritual form. And instead I desire to enjoy sense gratification with many men. Men provide sense gratification for women, but all these men and even the demigods in heaven have a beginning and an end. They're all temporary creations who will be dragged away by time. Therefore, how much actual pleasure or happiness can any of them give to their wives? Although I most stubbornly hope to enjoy the material world, somehow or other, detachment has risen in my heart, and it is making me very happy. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, must be very pleased with me. Without even knowing it, I must perform some activities for pleasing him. With devotion, I accept the great benefit that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Having given up my sinful desires for ordinary sense gratification, I now take shelter of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I am completely satisfied, and I have full faith in the Lord's mercy. And therefore I maintain myself with whatever comes of its own accord. I shall enjoy life only with the Lord, because he is a real source of love and happiness. When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time, he becomes sober and sane, and at that time he detaches himself from all material sense gratification. In that condition, the living entity is qualified to be his own protector. The Avadhuta said, thus her mind completely made up, Pingala cut off all of her sinful desires to enjoy sex pleasure with lovers, and she became situated in perfect peace. Then she sat down on her bed. Material desire is undoubtedly the cause of the greatest unhappiness, and freedom from such desire is the cause of the greatest happiness. And therefore, completely cutting off her desire to enjoy so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep. So, a very instructive story of Pingala. She became disappointed. The gopis, in the Gopi Gita, the gopis also quote Pingala. They say even Pingala, the great prostitute, she said that disappointment was the greatest happiness. So this is her story. She became disappointed, couldn't get any customers. So then she just gave up that idea. When she gave, soon she gave up the idea, through disappointment, she became happy and she remembered the Lord. What am I doing? Chasing after all these men. The Lord is going to give me anything anyway. He wants to give me everything. He's in my heart. He can give me so much love. He can give me so much money. He can give me everything I want. Why am I neglecting him? So at the moment she became detached because of her disappointment. That's a very good qualification, because practically we were experiencing ourselves the problem and trouble that it is to be happy in this material world. Every time you go for something, how much trouble it is. So it's a good qualification that if we become disappointed with this material world, then we can actually take shelter. I don't know if Pingala is a general name for a prostitute, but there's another story of Pingala, who was in Ayodhya. She was a prostitute also. I don't know if it's the same one. But she was in Ayodhya at the time of Lord Ramchandra. So she approached Lord Ramchandra with amorous desires. So Lord Ramchandra said, "We know I'm Ekapatni. I've only got one wife in this lifetime. I'm only accepting one wife." So. But he said, in my other incarnation of Krishna, there I have many wives. So you, in that birth, you can also take birth, and you will become a maidservant of Kamsa, King Kamsa. your name will be Kubja. And then I can satisfy your desire in the form of Krishna, in that incarnation. So then Sitadevi found out, she became very angry and furious. She started chastising this Mataji. Why you approach my husband and making proposals like that? I curse you that you would be bent in three places. So she was bent. And so Pingala was weeping and weeping. I'm sorry, please forgive me, I didn't mean to make any offense. Please don't curse me. She said, no. Anyway, when Krishna will come in that incarnation, he'll make you straight. So these three bends will go away. She's known as Trivakra, or bent in three places, and that's the name of Kubja. So then she took birth as Kubja, and she was a maidservant of Kamsa. And because of her deformities, she could remain pure. So generally the maidservants living in the Kshatriya's houses, Prabhupada said that maidservant actually means prostitute. They have many maidservants like that, the Kshatriya's. But because of her deformity, she was very pure. Kamsa didn't entertain her. But anyway, then she met Krishna on the street, and he wanted some sandalwood paste, and she immediately applied it. So this Kubja, she's an incarnation of partial manifestation of Satyabhama, Krishna's second wife in Dwarka. For Satyabhama, her manifestation is Bhudevi. Bhu means the earth planet, also known as the Prithivi. So this incarnation was an incarnation of Prithivi. This Kubja was Prithivi, the earth. And because Krishna says, I am the essence, the essence of the earth is scent. I am the smell of the earth element. So that's the scent, that is the essence of the earth. So because she was like earth personified, she was an incarnation. Then she offered her essence of herself, namely the scent, the Gandha, the scent to Krishna. And because Krishna was wanted to please her also, then he said, yes, because I have come to relieve the burden of the earth, because Kamsa and all the demoniac kings are a big burden of the earth. So therefore, that's why you're bent over, you become overburdened. Because I've come as to relieve the burden of the earth, so therefore you can get rid of your burden. So you can stand up straight now, you can become... So then he stepped on her toes and he caught her cheeks and he jerked her up, and she came very beautiful straight. Mataji. So this is the... so she became completely purified by the touch of Krishna, and then she had all of her desires fulfilled. So just like that, Pingala, she gave up the idea of being... She became disappointed at the idea of being the enjoyer. Then in a moment she became happy, despite simply depending on Krishna. She just did it. And she did it in one day. And she's a prostitute. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srimati Pingala ki. Jai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. You got a question? Yes, yeah, that's right, yeah. According to Dharma Shastra, then the woman should be married, then she should be under the protection of her husband. according to the Krishna consciousness, we should become completely dependent on Krishna. If you can. So Krishna... then if you are dependent on Krishna, whether you're married or not married, it doesn't really matter. Because Krishna is the whole focus of your life, it should be. If you can't do that, if you can't give up immediately, then Krishna says, okay, then follow the rules of sadhana. That's second best. So get married, have a husband. If you're going to do it without, right? Your nature, you need a husband. By your nature as a woman, you need a husband. Because we identify with a nature, which is not us. It's the nature of the body and the self. So when we start learn to identify ourselves as servant of Krishna, then we will understand our real eternal nature. But as long as we can't do that, then we're obliged to follow the dharmic rules. And okay, I'm identifying myself as this body, but it's the nature of the body. It's not my nature. My nature is eternal servant of Krishna. So anyway, I'll follow the rules according to the dharma, according to my realization. Yeah, and then like that, hopefully you live happily in Krishna consciousness, centered around Krishna. And then but a husband cannot save you ultimately. Only Krishna can save you. But he can help. He can tell you to chant Hare Krishna when you're leaving your body. Question. Hare Krishna, my thought in your mind. Question. Hare Krishna Prabhu, can you please describe other births of Narad Muni from Das Samudas Phoenix? Can you please describe the other births of Narad Muni? As a maid servant, we get the information he was, previous birth, he was a maid servant. And he was the son of a maid servant. And he served the devotees, he had associates, a little bit of association. He took prasadam one time with their permission. And they had such a great effect. And by serving them, he became the great Narad Muni. There's another story of the Maya, how Narad was captivated by Maya. He was thinking that, you know, this Maya is also not strong. I'm Narad Muni, I go anywhere I want, I'm free from Maya. He can't really affect me. He was with Krishna, or Vishnu. And Krishna said, can you get me a drink of water from the river? So Narad went to the river and got the water, and when he was there, there's a beautiful girl there. She was taking her bath, and she came out of the river, and she was very attractive, and he became attracted, and long story, but anyway, he became attracted, and he got married, and he had so many children, and so many things happened, and his wife was killed, his kids were killed, and everything, and then he was killed or committed suicide, and it was a disaster, that everything, and he was going to commit suicide, so he was going to jump in the river, and then he got in the river, and then suddenly he woke up, and he was the same Narad Muni. He was still getting water out the river, and Krishna would say, why did you take so long? Why did you take so long getting that water from the river? Narad, yeah, it's very powerful, that Maya. Even I was conquered. But he always chants Hare Krishna, so he's generally understand he's always aloof from Krishna gave him a lesson. Hare Krishna, thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada bhakta vrinda ki jai, Nithaya gopi manandi.